Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show. And again, I want to thank everybody for connecting with us and tuning in and our postings on the web. Every week, you know, I look forward to speaking with Mark Furman, attorney at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers, with his business litigation report. Welcome back, Mark.
Hi, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Great. What's our topic today, Mark?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about avoiding personal liability. You know, we set up these companies, and one of the big reasons we do it is so that business owners won't be personally liable for obligations of the company in case things don't work out. But there's some things you have to do in order to get the benefits of limited liability, and sometimes people forget to do it. So let's use this as an example. I'm the owner of XYZ Corporation, and my business card just says, XYZ on it. And I'm out selling, and I secure a very nice contract with the company, and they submit to me a purchase order. And it's addressed to me at XYZ and my address. And it's a great contract, a great PO. So what do? I sign it. So how does the person, the company that I'm dealing with, know that I'm actually a corporation and entitled to, limited liability on contractual claims? They don't. You can't keep it a secret. So if you want to avoid personal liability, don't put yourself in the position where the party with whom you're dealing isn't on clear and unambiguous notice that you're acting for a company. So if you get a contract, you sign it. You know, Mark Furman, President. Jeffrey Davis, President. You don't just sign it in a way that could be construed as being signed in your individual capacity. Because when things go wrong, opposing parties love to try to create a personal liability claim. It ups the stakes. If you have a loan with a bank, they would typically have a first priority interest in all the assets of the company. You know, it's just it's a game changer when there's personal liability. Now, let's say another example is, you're going to start a new company, but there's setup costs to creating the corporation. So, you need to file the paperwork with the Secretary of State's office, maybe get a lawyer involved to create a set of bylaws and stock certificates and all of that. And you don't want to spend the money until you got business. So people have been known to form the company after they actually start in business, once they've secured the first contract. So, what's the situation with if you sign an agreement with an entity that is in the name of an entity that's not yet formed? That's another classic example where there's a good chance you're going to get sued personally, as well as the company being sued on a theory. It's called promoter liability. And the general rule, unless there are unusual circumstances, is promoter is individually liable, and the company's liable too, as well, when it's formed. So that's another example where people end up getting sued on contract claims that if there was a little more cautiousness, there would not able to be a claim brought. So a third example, Jeffrey, where people run into problems is it's called corporate disregard or piercing the corporate veil. So this is when a business owner doesn't treat the company as a real entity. You know, corporations are creatures allowed by the state, and in order to have a corporation, there's certain things you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have bylaws, you're supposed to have annual meetings, you're supposed to respect the corporation as an entity. So that means you don't commingle assets. You know, there's the company's assets, and then there's your personal assets. If you have a second company, you don't just routinely commingle assets between the two companies. That's going to create a problem for you. You need to have your annual meetings, even if they're just pro forma, and but have a, you know, a vote. The easy paperwork to do. Don't commingle assets. Don't convey assets for no consideration or for unreasonably low consideration. Let's say your company's having some problems, XYZ corporation's having problems. I have too much debt. So what's going to happen if I create ABC Corporation and open the next day ABC Corporation, and then ABC Corporation buys all the assets of XYZ Corporation for a dollar, and now all the creditors of XYZ Corporation are left holding the bag? Well, I think two things are going to happen. One, ABC Corporation is going to get sued on a theory that they're the successor and they're responsible. But in all likelihood, I would get sued too, as the person who caused XYZ Corporation to transfer its assets for effectively no consideration to ABC Corporation. So, I mean, these cases come up all the time, and that's why I wanted to talk about it today, is in order to have the protection of the corporation, you have to act fairly, and otherwise, and people have to know about your corporate existence or you'll be personally liable. I mean, the concept, to think about it this way, I think, is appropriate. There's no such thing as perfect protection from individual liability, but there's ways that you can minimize the risk. And when you're dealing with claims that involve contracts, just contract claims, the ability to protect yourself is enormous if you play by the rules. It's not 100% perfect, but it's very, very good. This is different than tort liability. Tort liability, you know, if you're driving a company vehicle and you hit somebody, you can be personally liable. The corporation doesn't shield you in any way from tort liability. And that's why it's so important to have adequate insurance, you know, comprehensive general liability insurance and other types of insurance to protect you against tort liabilities. But contractual liabilities, the insurance isn't going to protect you, and you've got to protect yourself. So you got to be cautious. And I'm struck by the number of times that I see entities do business without anybody knowing that they're a corporation. You know, they have their name, their trade name, their business name on their business cards. You hand them out, nobody knows it's, you know, XYZ LLC, for example. You've got to protect yourself, and being a little bit cautious here is a wise move, I think. So that's my suggestion to business owners. Make sure they're holding themselves out as limited liability entities, if in fact they have one. And if they don't have one, they ought to seriously think about either incorporating or creating an LLC, which is a very common way that people today own businesses. And it's like a pass-through for tax purposes, like a partnership, very similar that way, but gives you the limited liability protection. So the time, like everything else, the time to think about these things are before the problem arises. Once the problem arises, you just have to deal with what it is that happened historically. But there's an opportunity to be proactive to protect yourself. And with what business owner, if they thought of it, wouldn't want to insulate themselves to the extent possible from personal liability?
You know, Mark, I actually think you're being too polite. And it's not the first time I felt that way about you. I really think you could say, hey, Dumbo, if you don't have a proper corporate shell to protect yourself, if you don't have insurance, you're playing Russian roulette. You're putting the gun to your head, you're spinning the dial, and you're just taking that chance that you're going to blow your head off. Because I have people coming in here every week who I meet who do not have the proper protection. It's that common that I see it every week. And I see clients who say to me after the fact, regularly, I should have done this. And it's not a lot of money to protect yourself, but it is, people are setting themselves up to go into business, but to go out of business at the same time. And I think they really need to wake up and understand that this is the reality of being in business and staying in business.
I admire your subtlety, and I think you're right. You know, you're absolutely right. It is playing Russian roulette. And, it's can be penny wise and pound foolish. Entrepreneurs are optimistic by nature. You know, they're taking risks. But you still have to be prudent and protect yourself, because not every company ends up successful. Not every business deal works out the way you hope. And to protect yourself, your family, not just yourself, your family is important.
Right. Well, Mark, I really appreciate it. I think it's a very important topic. I think you could actually bring in cases where companies have gone out of business as a result of not doing this. But if somebody wants to find you and understand how to build the proper protection for this, I think it's there for their life's career, for their life savings, how would they find you?
I can be reached at 617-218-2025 or at mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com.
Thank you very much, Mark. We really appreciate your contributions. And Professor Furman, we look forward to hearing from you again next week.
Okay, Jeffrey.
Good.
Have a good evening. Nice to see you.
Okay. We're going to sign off. We're going to be back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.